Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yeah, welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Benny B. Hope everybody had a nice celebration of America's birthday. 245 years old. What can I say? The only thing older than the country is the Marine Corps, because it's a year older. And I was born in November, so. But, you know, we were prepping. Prepping from the breakaway from the crown. Wasn't an easy fight, but we got it done. So, we had some racing this weekend. For the first time since I've been watching NASCAR, they were not at Daytona for the Firecracker or the Coca-Cola 400. It used to be the Firecracker 400 because it's 4th of July. It'd be everybody there this weekend. You had the Xfinity, you had the Cup, you had the trucks. I think ARCA might have been down there. No, not this year, though. They decided to shuffle the schedule. I think Daytona is now the end of the regular season. And the end of the playoffs is in Phoenix. It used to be Homestead. But due to them shuffling the schedule around, we wound up on the road. We've got 7 road courses this year in the Cup Series. And this one was the 4th one, Mid-Ohio. And now I take that back. They were in Road America. IndyCar in action was at Mid-Ohio. Let's see what they had to do. It was Joseph Newgarden who started on the pole. It's an 80-lap race on a 2.258, so a little over 2.25 miles. So Joseph Newgarden takes the checkered flag. Marcus Ericsson, second. Alex Palou, third. Scotty Dixon, fourth. Alexander Rossi, fifth. Graham Rahal takes the 6th spot. Romain Grosjean, the 7th. Pato O'Ward, 8th. Santino Ferrucci, 9th. And Takuma Sato rounds out your top 10. There's a name you might see wound up finishing 22nd after starting 25th. Somebody, a name you might recognize in the NASCAR genre, 7-time champ himself, Jimmy Johnson, taken to the road in IndyCars. I wonder if he's gearing up to run an Indy 500 in a year or so. But anyway, Jimmy Johnson in the event. Got a taste of running on the road with the IndyCar regulars. He was a lap down, and he did finish the race running. So, you know, when you he was driving a number 48, so. So there's a lot of familiar things to see on that. Average speed of the winner, not the average speed of the race, but the average speed of the winner, 108.4 mile an hour. Race took an hour, 39 minutes, 58 seconds. 2 cautions for 6 laps, 5 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. Margin of victory, less than a second. That's pretty good for IndyCar. Usually they're stretched out, 0.879, 7/8 of a second. So after that, the way the point standings go, it's Palou leading the top spot. Pato O'Ward is second. Scotty Dixon, third. Joseph Newgarden, fourth. Ericsson, fifth. Pagano, sixth. Colin Herta, seventh. VK 8th, Graham Rahal 9th, and Takuma Sato rounds out your top 10. So there was the Indy race at Mid-Ohio, Jimmy Johnson getting his feet wet. It's not that he hasn't run road courses. I don't even know if he's run any other Indy cars, you know. And the next race will be next month, August the 8th. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix at 5:30. It'll be on NBCSN, Sirius XM, or Peacock if you want to watch it on the web and streaming. It's in Nashville, Music City, which leaves after that 1, 2, 3, 4 races to finish up. They got 5 races left in the season. They don't run very much. Not till so they'll be running the streets of Nashville. We have some news in the NASCAR world. A little bit of merging going on, Trackhouse Racing and Chip Ganassi. Ganassi's joining forces or letting the team go to Justin with driver Justin Marks. We've got some audio here, so from the press conference. Of course, it takes a while to boot this stuff up. I think when they upload this, they ought to edit it down a little better. But can I do it? I'd like to say yeah, but you know how that goes. Here we go.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We are going to be joined here first by Justin Marks. If you do know you're going to have a question for Justin, please raise your hand and get in the queue, or feel free to send me a chat. And as soon as he sits down, we will get started.
Here we go. You should have them all queued before you. They need some audio direction here. But that's me. What do I know? Just a little radio guy. I used to queue up guests. At least talk over it. Dead air. You don't want dead air, so it leaves it to me to kill the dead air. Yeah, what are you going to do? I don't make the rules. I just play by them. But there's one of the things you have in when you're doing it live like I am, and I should cue it up myself, I guess, but I would think they'd be ready to go. Come on, guys. No, I didn't want to pause.
On the potential drivers or...
Wait.
Now, and obviously I raced...
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
I think it was like you passed where they come in at, so... I don't get much to move along, yeah. Here we go.
Hi, Marissa. Just about to sit down.
Thank you.
Marissa.
All right. Hey, Justin. You can hear me okay?
I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Big announcement, big day. I know most of us were watching on the social media channels as well as NASCAR.com. So we have a ton of questions for you. We're going to get right into those. As a reminder, if you have one for Justin, raise your hand, and I will call on you, or you can send me a chat, and we will kick things off with Jenna Fryer. Go ahead, Jenna.
Hey, Justin, congratulations. I'm curious, did you just cold call Jeff? What was that first conversation? Were you just fishing?
Well, I thought about it for a few weeks before I worked up the courage to just do it. I mean, I think there's a lesson here, and sometimes you just gotta make the call, and that's what I did. And I called him and I said, look, I'm in a process right now, or a point in time right now, where I'm trying to identify opportunities to grow in this space and to create a great future for Trackhouse, and I just asked, that includes charters, that includes a potential acquisition of an entire operation. And if that's a conversation you'd be interested in having, then I'll come to Pittsburgh and we'll have an adult conversation about it.
And was he interested in the conversation right away, or did further talks have to?
Yeah, no, I think he was interested in hearing what I had to say. And I think, we've known each other for some time now, and obviously I raced for them, and we have a great relationship. We always got along. And I said, if you're willing to talk, I'll fly up there and we'll sit in your office and talk. And he was very willing to do that. So I think maybe he didn't know how serious it was, but I was going to come to him and he was interested in learning. And we had a great conversation that day and started the process.
I got to ask, how much did you pay?
I can't talk about that, Jenna. These are private transactions between two private companies, obviously confidentiality in the agreement.
Yeah, I know. I just had to ask. Thank you.
I understand.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Go ahead, Bob.
I think you're on mute, Bob. Can't hear you, Bob.
Oh, try again, Bob.
Okay, are Justin or Ross Chastain and Kurt Busch, are they among the potential drivers, or are they kind of considered free agents even more now, and, kind of what are you looking for in that second driver?
Yeah, we have to obviously go through that process and have that conversation, but at the onset, those two are the top two that would be under consideration. Like I said, I mean, it's not just drivers. The fact there's a lot of great people there, and we want to try to retain as much of that talent as we possibly can moving into the next gen era. I think when it comes to the discussion of drivers, that's certainly where we're going to start, is with those two.
And what about, will you have any sort of alliance with anybody? And, like, I assume you kind of use the Hendrick ECR engine package now. Would there be any change to engines going forward?
I don't anticipate a change at all. I mean, a lot of the work that has to be done from here over the next couple of months is understanding, very intimately the Chip Ganassi Racing operations and how they manage different business units within the company, and then how that stacks up with, where Trackhouse is at right now. Obviously, the relationship with Chevrolet is very important. We have a great working relationship with RCR. We have to give them the respect first of exploring with them what a partnership moving into the future looks like. But those are all things we're going to be considering in short order.
And during the last 2 months, was there ever a time where you thought this wasn't going to happen?
I was I was hopeful, but you never know. I mean, you never really know. There was, you know, a lot of things to work through, a lot of details to work through, a lot of conversations to have with Chip. So, you know, I felt confident because Chip's enthusiasm, I believe, grew through the process, and I felt like we were just continuing to get to a better and better place that was going to work for both of us. And this process started early enough in the year that I was pretty committed to seeing it through and not really working on anything else until I knew if this was a go or not.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Jacob Steelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Marissa. And Justin, congratulations. Obviously a big day. Would this have worked as well as it seems it is without your prior relationship with Chip? And to kind of follow up on that, is this an opportunity for you, because you've worked with him in the past, to really be able to carry on the legacy that he started over the last 20 years?
Yeah, I would agree with both those sentiments. I mean, you know, I think that he was willing to listen to what I had to say because we've worked together in the past, and because, you know, we've had a great working relationship, and it helps in anything you do in life with Chip to have one for him, which I was lucky enough to be able to do. So I think that, you know, obviously is a part of it. Like I said, in just a few minutes ago, I mean, my career and his career, my life as a fan has been linked in a way to CGR off and on for 20 years. So I think this is a great motorsports story. I think the narrative here is great, and it just makes a lot of sense that this is the point that we're at today.
And the second question that I've got, when you look at kind of the path that you've taken with Trackhouse, this has all happened relatively quickly over about the last 18 months. Was that always your plan from a business standpoint, or is this kind of an escalation compared to maybe what your original plan was?
This is a condensing of the time frame for sure, but I always did anticipate this being the trajectory of the company in some cadence. But you know, this as the charter landscape kind of heated up a little bit. I mean, it obviously is important from day one of the year to explore these options because we were leasing our charter, and you know, while this is much more than just the acquisition of a charter, it certainly was something that's been important to be pursuing the whole time. But yeah, I mean, it's happened very quickly, but I'm happy it happened quickly because now we can just focus on building for the future.
All right, we're going to take our next one from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Justin, you've been very vocal in your frustration about the charter market missing out on some others, and recently it seemed like you were trying to drive the price down with some of your comments. Were you just bluffing at that point, or what was behind all that?
No, I mean, I've probably been a little too vocal maybe on that. I think the only reason why I had some of those comments was because, you know, some frustration because I was a bidder on no less than four charters before this point. And I know what those charters traded at, but but things are changing quickly in the economy of this sport. And, you know, this deal was not really done and papered until a week ago. So, you know, I felt confident that we were going to get it done. There was no strategy or bluffing on my part. It just was me, you know, trying to get a handle on, you know, what is the charter worth? And I think that where I ended up is a charter is worth what people, you know, what the individual is willing to pay for. And every transaction is different and works differently for both sides. So no gamesmanship on my side, Jeff, really. I think I probably just had some frustration that I was working so hard and investing so much of my time into Trackhouse and was continually losing out these charters. So it's nice to get one closed.
Now that you do have a pair of charters, you know, your other comments about how it was maybe potentially possible to run without one, do you still feel that way, or would teams be wary to try something like that?
No, I do. I think it's possible. I think that, you know, you're obviously it's more expensive to run without one, and you're taking the risk of missing a marquee race like the Daytona 500. I spoke from our perspective in that I've got too many positive things happening, too much belief in Trackhouse, that if I was not able to get something like this done, I was going to pack it up and go home. That just is not an option for me. So I think every owner is different. I think that every enterprise is set up differently, and everybody has their, you know, different risk tolerances. For me, I was willing to race without one. And I believe that there are people out there that might that might still believe that way too.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Justin, a couple of things. This original idea of going to chip, with the way the market was and what the situation was with charters and looking at growing track house, did you view this as like a Hail Mary, or is this just a very precise and sharp business venture that any capital venture, you know, would look at an organization to potentially work a deal or take over?
I don't consider it a Hail Mary, because a Hail Mary, you throw the ball and you pray, and you don't have a lot of control after that point. And I believe that there are a lot of parts of this transaction for both sides that made a lot of sense for both sides. So ambitious, yes, 100%, very, very ambitious. But, you know, Hail Mary is suggesting that there's things that are out of your control. And Chip and I did work very, very hard together over the past 8 weeks to try to get to a place that worked for both of us, and we did. So you know, it was calculated, but it was ambitious for sure.
Obviously, two cars now. Look, you can have as many as four. So are you done, or is there a hope of expansion and growing to four, three or four cars by next year or within the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think growth needs to be managed. I know that might sound weird in this moment because we're only 19 races in and announcing this transaction. But you know, I don't want to get over my skis either. I mean, I think that there's a lot of unknowns coming around this new car. We have to learn a lot about what operationally it's going to take to field the next gen car successfully. And I have a lot of ambition and a lot of passion and vision for this company, but I'm not going to risk the momentum we have right now and so many good things ahead of us by trying to do too much too quickly. I think we could grow beyond two, but that's by no means in the imminent plans for the company.
And also, last thing is, look, you know, as you noted, you've come in a short time. You know, we've seen what Denny Hamlin has done with Michael Jordan, the Live Fast, but also Matt Colleague. So there's certainly a lot of new ownership group. Is it a case the new kids on the block are changing the sport? I mean, you know, I'd say that, you know, Matt came in with a really bold thing. You've done something very bold here with today. I mean, that's making a major change throughout the sport. How are you new owners impacting the sport in maybe a different way than the old guard?
Well, I mean, I listened to all that, and I think that where my mind goes is that this is proof of concept for NASCAR's vision for the future. It's proof of concept for the new car. I mean, this is exactly what they were trying to do with this new car. I mean, you know, the business model of the sport made the barrier of entry for new ownership just higher and higher and higher every single year. And it was going to take something like this to ignite a movement like this. And I think that you're proving that there is a lot of desire to get into this sport, that the mechanism to do that has just been too high of a mountain for a lot of people to climb. But I think the promise of the new car is, you know, and the model of the new car, you know, is that opportunity for a lot of owners. I mean, Denny and I talk about this, and you know, I think it's a common theme among a number of the new owners, and that you know, this is the opportunity to come in when the sport's at a big transition, period of transition. And I think the days ahead for the sport and for new ownership and these new teams are really, really bright. I'm very fortunate to be a part of it.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next one from Nate Ryan. Go ahead, Nate.
Thanks. Justin, I just have some nuts and bolts questions. From the RCR perspective, I know that they kind of consider you guys like a third car. Are you anticipating that there'll be like, well, I guess, first of all, like, did they know that this was a possibility? Like, when? How did they find out? When did they?
We notified them today. I mean, it was very important for Chip and I both to keep this as quiet as possible, but make sure that we notified our close partners, you know, before they read about it on the internet, just out of respect and obviously everything that we've been working on together. I think that there's a lot of paths forward in our RCR relationship. I mean, I think this shouldn't be viewed as what Trackhouse is now fully autonomous and on our own, because these companies have developed some very valuable intellectual property and engineering resources and data sets and things like that. So we're going to be having those discussions over the next few weeks to sort of see what that looks like in the future. I anticipate there being certainly being a relationship in some form that carries forward.
So like a chance that you would absorb some RCR employees and Ganassi?
We have. Trek House, I guess buying out Chip Ganassi's operation. So it's going to be pretty interesting. I think Ganassi's still going to be around, but he's cutting loose some stuff. Because, you know, Chip's got Indy cars, and I think him and Penske have the most Indy car wins around. You know, and both have, let's see, does Chip have a NASCAR championship? I don't think so, but Penske does, so we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, into the two races of the weekend. Out at the 4.048 mile Road America road course in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, the longest road course, I think, anywhere. Somebody I thought was probably going to step down, did not call it a Xfinity career, decided to run another race, led once for five laps, the last five laps. Kyle Busch gets his 101st Xfinity Series win. Daniel Hemric takes the second spot. Michael Annette in third. A.J. Allmendinger fourth. Harrison Burton fifth. Kevin Harvick sixth. I guess a lot of Cup guys decide they're going to run this because they've never ran this track in the Cup Series. I think they're saying, I saw, is it 65 years since the Cup ran at Road America? So that's 3 years before I was born. So that tells you the last time. That's why I never remember them being there, because they haven't been there in so darn long. Anyway, Harrison Burton fifth, Kevin Harvick sixth, Riley Herbst seventh, Austin Cindric eighth, Noah Gragson ninth, and Justin Haley rounds out your top 10. Average speed, 74 mile an hour, 45 lap race. Margin of victory, 3.5 seconds. Race took 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 47 seconds. There were 13 lead changes amongst 8 drivers, 7 cautions for 11 laps, or 5 for 9 laps for incidents. Stage conclusion laps were only 1 lap each. So by the time they got the stage ending flag, which is a green and white checker, which is kind of weird. By the time they retook the green, it was 1 lap. The biggest incident was on lap 39. There were 10 cars involved in turn one. I guess after a restart on lap 37. They all got bunched up coming around a bend there, and wrecked some cars. Other than that, it was a pretty clean race. There was only three or four incidents for single car things, for minor stop. People going off the track and getting stuck, and one car stopped on the track and turned 14 to 6 car, so it was pretty mellow race, other than for the last six to go. Let's check the points, see who's doing what there. Well, we'll get there in a second. Let's get the fast facts. Well, Kyle Busch said it was his 101st in 361 Xfinity races, fourth this year alone. So in four races that he was in, he's got four wins and four top tens. I think he's eligible for two more as he might be finishing out the season. It's his first victory and first top ten in his series debut at Road America. I think Xfinity's been here before, but maybe Kyle Busch being. The Cup Series was at another track. Didn't run this one. Highest finishing rookie is Ty Gibbs. Joe Gibbs Racing has two victories at Road America, Christopher Bell a couple years ago, and Kyle Busch this year. And Kyle Busch is the 12th different NASCAR Xfinity Series winner at Road America, extending the record for most consecutive different winners at a track. So nobody's won there twice in a row. 12 straight different guys. Interesting. Here's the points. Austin Cindric leads the points. He's got four wins. A.J. Allmendinger with two wins is second. Daniel Hemric is third. No wins. Justin Allgaier fourth. He's got two wins. Harrison Burton fifth. No wins. Cousin Jeb is fifth with, Harrison Burton is fifth. Jeb Burton is sixth with a win. Justin Haley, seventh. Brandon Jones, eighth. Noah Gragson, ninth. Michael Annette, tenth. Jeremy Clements, 11th. Brandon Brown, 12th with no wins. But you have Myatt Snyder in 13th with a win. And go down to Josh Berry in 15th. He has a win. Ty Gibbs has two wins in 16th, so technically they're in the playoffs, and three guys will be getting bumped out that are points only because if you win, you're in. Let's get some audio. Ecuador winner wins the 13. Here's Kyle Busch.
You're actually off track today. Can you believe you won? And do you think this is a good omen for tomorrow?
I'd like to think that I finally figured out how to do the kink after 45 tries. Is that right today? But I don't know. We'll wait till after tomorrow to answer that question. I don't know, just, pretty good day for us. We had a decent car. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. Just wouldn't cut the center and some of the slow stuff. But, seemed to at least have pace to the fast guys when we were on equal tires. But especially the second half of the race, we were a lot closer after we made a couple adjustments. But, thankful that it just kind of played out. We were able to save our tires, persevere there when we got spun out off of turn three, and then get relined up and, motor through some of those guys. And then that's when I think I jumped off the kink again and fell back, but, only lost four spots or so in the process, so I was able to make up a couple back. But, this is it's a tight course. It's really narrow, very slick. When you come here and run earlier last week, cooler temperatures. Yesterday, cooler temperatures. Today was hot. Tomorrow's going to be hot. So the pace and everything that you've learned for your marks and what you do is all got to be slowed down and backed up for the slickness that the track gets with hemp. Yeah, so no, it wasn't a vision thing. I saw I think it was 51, one of those guys dip off, and I actually rolled out of the gas and checked up for the corner, but that's a corner where you have to brake for it, and I don't think I ever used the brake. So I got into the corner way faster, even though I lifted earlier for it, and you know, just overshot the corner and just got off track, off line, and into the wall. So I hate it that I wrecked a really good car. The car was fast. You know, I think Ben was trying to, you know, save my feelings there and tell me that the next car is really good as well too. So nothing to worry about there. Just put it all back, I said, and it'll be fine. Driver error, you know, cost us a car, but hopefully we can still get a win.
All right, Dave.
Dave from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, I think seventh or something on that last restart. You know, you had fresh tires. I assume you knew that the guys up front didn't. What was your mindset? Where did you think you were going to pick them off, and how fast did you feel like you were catching up to them?
Yeah, I mean, the second to last restart was more hairy, just with everything stacking up on the front stretch there and guys getting into it and tearing up the front and rear of their cars. And then there was somebody got spun out between two and three there, caused the yellow. So I think it was actually kind of a blessing for us where we were able to pick off, you know, three, four, whatever spots it was, and then the caution came out, another reset, and go after them all again, get another restart, get on the inside, getting into one, and picked off a couple there, and then, you know, was just trying to bide my time and get by the 16. He was blocking me really bad, you know, and just knew that I had better tires than him. I thought he did a little much to try to hold me off, but whatever, floats your boat, I guess. You know, and he was able to, can't remember who he passed. Was it the 20, I believe, for the lead? No, the 9 for the lead. And, you know, I was on his outside going into the carousel, and I was like, I know this ain't the right thing to do. So I was just like, go ahead, I'll get you on the next one. And, you know, just tried to set him up that way. Knew that we had a better car, better tires to drive away.
Go ahead.
Nick Evan from Speed Sports. You know, you mentioned that the off that you had right before the end of the first stage going out of turn three. Thankfully, that was kind of toward the end of the stage where it could have been maybe a little more costly. How much patience did you feel like you had to exercise today with a couple of little adversity situations that you faced today?
Yeah, I mean, this track is really narrow. So when you get on a restart and guys are too wide, well, the only way to pass them is make it three wide. And when you make it three wide going into a turn, that essentially, I mean, the racetrack is three car widths wide, you know, so inside, middle, outside, everybody's got to maintain their groove that they're going to be in. And coming out of three there, the eight car was in the middle, and then I think he was going to get checked up by the car in front of him, so he ducked low, but I was already kind of on the inside of him, so I ducked low, and the seven was already on the inside of me a little bit, you know, so just kind of a chain reaction type deal there where I got spun out. But it's just a product of you know, stock cars and full-bodied and full contact.
All right. Steve?
Steve McGarvey, the Associated Press. I'm just wondering, are you going into Atlanta thinking this might be your last Xfinity Series race? And if so, just the possibility of maybe going 5 for 5 this season, what would that mean to you if that does end up being?
Yeah, I mean, since we're this close, we might as well go 5 for 5. That would certainly be nice. That would be special. So, you know, thanks to Chris Gale, Joe Coy, everybody that's worked on my stuff this year and has gotten us to this point. It's been really, really cool. So didn't really come up here expecting to win, just wanted to learn a track. But when you're in position there towards the end of the race, you know, your mindset definitely changes and you get into the groove of what you got to do. So, you know, that was good for today. But, yeah, going into next week at Atlanta, as far as I understand it, it's going to be my last Xfinity Series race. So, you know, we'll get everything we got. Hopefully it's a good one for us. You know, we should start up near the front, I think, because of the qualifying mathematics, Bob, that should put us better or close to the front, and we could have a good race down there.
All right, we'll go back to Dave.
NASCAR history here, no one has won more than one race. What do you think about your chances of being the first guy to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty good. You know, I thought our cup car was really fast right off the truck. I thought we had good pace, and I hate it that I screwed it up and threw it away, you know. So my guys had to work extra hard this weekend, and it's 90 degrees outside instead of a nice 75 up here in Wisconsin. But, you know, so I definitely got to work hard tomorrow and try to reward them for that and all of the stuff that they've done to win last week and then, you know, to come out here and repair a wrecked car, that's no fun.
All
Justin Long, NBC Sports. You talked about you almost expect next week the final Xfinity race. Do you hope or want it to be the end? Feel like still racing the racer?
Yeah, no, racers are racers. They want to race. But when you get blackballed by everybody to go run and have fun, and it's just no fun to hear all the BS afterwards or during. So, like Harvick kind of gave it up and quit and just ran a couple this year to get experience at places he hadn't been to because he didn't want to hear it anymore or be a part of it anymore. So, sometimes you drive guys away, and that's part of it. So we'll just run on Sundays, I guess. And I still own the truck team, so I'll still run my truck races that I can. That's about it.
There you have Kyle Busch talking about a whole bunch of different things and winning and go for five in a row or five for five in Xfinity. Why wouldn't he go on for four, finish out the year with a bang? Who knows? Anyway, let's get back to it. On to the Cup Series. Whoever thought this guy would be a road course ringer? I mean, it's really, really unexpected. I remember back in the day when they'd go get guys like Boris said, you know, the Cup teams would get Boris said and Ron Fellows and A.J. Allmendinger to run road courses. Now, they're pretty much using their own guys. One of the guys that really has taken to the road courses, I mean, your biggest road course, and these road course ringers they brought in never really won. It was always Cup regulars that won anyway. You have Jeff Gordon, who became vice president, vice chairman of Hendrick Motorsports, stepping down from his TV booth gig at Fox, leads in road course wins. He has 9 career road course wins. A guy who ran the IRL, won a championship there, and then switched to NASCAR, won 3 championships there. Is second with 8. And that's Tony Stewart, the Smoke. And there's been a 6-way tie going into Sunday's race, but that 6-way tie now puts this gentleman at 3rd all time with 7. Somebody who hasn't been even in the series that long, becoming a road course master. That's Chase Elliott. Bill Elliott's son, defending Cup Series champ. Leading 2 times for 24 of the 62 laps. Getting his first being the first in 65 years to win at Road America. So he's 3rd all time, and he's only been driving in the Cup Series for a short while. Christopher Bell was 2nd. Kyle Busch, who did win the day before, was looking for a sweep. Wound up 3rd. Brother Kurt was 4th. Denny Hamlin, 5th. Chase Briscoe was 6th. Ross Chastain, who I guess will be going, he's driving the 42, probably be going with one of the ones that they're keeping, and Kurt Busch with Justin Marks in Trackhouse. Because due to the acquisition, I guess, by that over with Ganassi, unless they're calling it Trackhouse Ganassi and doing it that way. But anyway, He was 7th, Tyler Reddick 8th, Martin Truex Jr., who's pretty good on the road courses himself. He actually won both stages. No, he only led once for one lap. Who was the stage winner? So we had Tyler Reddick winning stage 2. Stage 1 was won by William Byron. So Reddick was 8th, Truex 9th, and Matt DiBenedetto 2 times for 10 laps. He's got a road course win to put him in the playoffs a couple of years ago, so you can't count him out. Now that he's driving a decent car, he might sneak in a win. He's driving for the Wood Brothers, so good for him. The race took 2 hours, 54 minutes, 33 seconds. Average speed, 86.27 mile an hour. Margin of victory wasn't close, 5.7 seconds. Definitely not close. 4 cautions for 9 laps. Stage 1 was 4 laps, but it was combined with an incident. But I saw where they were going to... The yellow came out, and they were going to go a couple of laps away from stage conclusion, so they decided to combine that, which was smart. They're going green for a lap and then throwing the conclusion. And then the next stage 2 conclusion was only 2 laps. So you got 6 laps out of the 9, and then you've had 3 laps, 2 yellows and for 3 laps for standalone incidents, being I'll combine that one for there. So So Chase Elliott won the inaugural Jockey Made in America 250. It's his 13th in 205 NASCAR Cup Series races, which is pretty good for a young guy. He's only 25, and he's got a championship under his belt. All he's got to do is nail a Daytona 500, and he's good to go. It's his 2nd victory, 11th top 10 this year. And like I said earlier, he's now ranked solely 3rd on NASCAR's Cup Series all-time wins list on the road courses, behind Gordon and Stewart. And with 7 road courses this year in the Cup Series, he could probably jump up the ladder a little more, not take the lead. So you never know. Hendrick Motorsports' 273rd Cup Series victory, the series most. Well, I think he's been in the series long. And, you know, you figure you got a bunch of drivers that have won a lot of races, championships. I mean, you go back over the years, you had Terry Labonte, Tim Richmond, who used to win a few races a year, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Jr., I don't know if Dale Jr. actually won any with Hendrick, but you know what I mean. Now Chase Elliott, William Byron's got a couple of the young guys, and Bowman. Let's check the points. Somehow, someway, Denny Hamlin still leads the points. He's got 3-point lead with no wins. Over 2nd place, Kyle Larson. Yeah, Byron does have a win there. Bowman has 3 wins. So, yeah, both. There's a couple more Hendrick guys with some wins. Kyle Larson has 4 wins. William Byron in 3rd has a win. Kyle Busch with 2 wins in 4th. Joey Logano with a win in 5th. Chase Elliott got his 2nd win on Sunday. He's 6th. Martin Truex with 3 is 7th. Ryan Blaney with a win is 8th. Harvick, no wins in 9th. Brad Kay, 1 win in 10th. Alex Bowman, 3 wins in 11th. Austin Dillon, 12th, no wins. Tyler Reddick, no wins. In 13th, Kurt Busch, 14th, no wins. Christopher Bell, 15th, no wins. And in 16th, which is the playoff cutoff line, is Chris Buescher with no wins. But in 17th, Michael McDowell will move up because he's got a win. He won the Daytona 500. So that being said, Chris Buescher probably is going to be bounced out because he's the least guy with the least amount of points in the playoffs. So there you have it. Anyway, let's get some words from race winner Chase Elliott.
We've been now joined by our race winner of the Jockey 250 here at Road America, Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet for Hendrick Motorsports. Congratulations, Chase, on the victory. Before we get started, one quick stat. This is Chase Elliott's 7th career NASCAR Cup Series road course victory. He is now ranked solely 3rd on the NASCAR Cup Series all-time wins list for road courses, behind NASCAR Hall of Famers Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart. Not bad company to be in, Chase. Tell us a little bit about Road America today.
Yeah, super cool and honor to be even in the in at least like 4 lines below them, much less a couple. So really proud of our team. And, yeah, we really kind of struggled yesterday and never got into a good rhythm, I didn't feel like, on my end. And I thought we could be a little better with the car. Made a lot of changes overnight. And kind of started the day, and I thought that I liked it, but I just still wasn't in a good rhythm. About halfway, I felt like I started to kind of put things together and start minimizing some mistakes I had been making all weekend, and then started finding some pace. So, after that, it got fun, and I was able to get a little, you know, get a flow going and get in rhythm, and then from there, we were able to get on. You know, we kind of got caught up from our bad starting spot, got on the same strategy as the leaders, and then from there, we were able to go to work and had things going good enough to keep up and get by those guys.
Okay. We're now going to go to questions for Chase. If you have a question, raise your hand. We're going to get to as many questions as we can, and we'll start in the back and then make our way up front.
Sterling Price with KCOU. Chase, was there any kind of mindset reset that had to be done, especially after what happened in qualifying this morning?
No. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's not like, you know, it's not like it really, yes, it wasn't good, but I mean, it's not like you don't have enough time if things are good, you know. So, I mean, yes, it's bad starting spot and a lot of opportunity to tear something up or get in the back of somebody or something back there. So that's obviously not good, but at the same time, if your car's good and we made the right adjustments and all those things, I feel like, you know, 60, however many laps the race was, is plenty of time to work itself out. So fortunately, we did make the right changes and our car was good and we were able to move forward and have a shot.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Steve McGargy, Associated Press. Just why do you think you've been so effective on these road courses and not just on so many different types of road courses as well?
Yeah, I honestly don't know, man. I wish I did. If I did, I'd tell you maybe. But I honestly don't. I really have no idea. I really feel like it's just good cars and, you know, our team as a whole, I mean, has been good at road courses the whole time too. I mean, you know, Kyle won where at Sonoma, yeah. So, I mean, yes, I feel like, you know, drivers are only good as what they have to drive, and fortunately I feel like I've got the best stuff and just got to make it work.
There you have Chase Elliott, your winner. All right, this weekend, as we wrap up the show, They're going to be down in Hotlanta with Cup Series and Xfinity. And the Camping World Truck Series is going to be in Knoxville, Tennessee. There'll be Truck Series will be Friday, 9 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Xfinity will be Saturday for the Credit Karma Money 250 at 3:30 on NBCSN, all these letters. And then on Sunday, the Cup Series, 3:30 on NBCSN as well. So off the road and on to the round, the ovals there. So anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vinny B., your host. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.